Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the convenient voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Richard. You sound like you're still far, far away.
Indeed, I am still far, far away. I've actually started to get to know the locals here a little bit, getting to know how the expats over here live. And it is an incredibly convenient lifestyle they have. All sorts I could tell you, but just one that really made me smile this week. And it just made me think this is the way forward, in that you can go to sleep here. And as long as you leave your petrol fuel cap open, someone will come and put petrol in your car. So people don't actually go to the petrol stations over here. They have everything. The barber comes to your house. It goes without saying, obviously, all shopping, deliveries, everything within a few minutes. Starbucks. Why go to Starbucks when, of course, they can just bring it over? Now, I know we've kind of got that with Uber Eats and Deliveroo and what have you, but it's just made me realize it is next level over here. No one does anything.
It sounds like my absolute worst nightmare. Every
it's my dream.
Oh, it's horrendous.
It's my dream.
Why leave the house? Why go and seek fresh air? Why go and see what there is in the world? No, I can just have everything delivered to me while I'm sat on my backside on my sofa.
Absolutely. And all those great things that are out there, I'm sure they can stream them to you. You know, you can see them on the TV. So look, it's just phenomenal over here. I've got to be honest.
The petrol thing fascinates me. So if you leave your petrol cap open overnight, which, by the way, is incredibly trusting, someone will just scoot along in the middle of the night like Santa, and in the morning you'll have a full car.
Yep, same price. And the interesting thing, in fact, this isn't interesting, but it's only interesting to me, is that the app is called Cafu, you know, like the great Brazilian fullback, Cafu. So yeah, you essentially pay for it on this Cafu app, go to sleep, wake up, and there you go, you've got a full car.
Wow. What a thing. What a time to be alive, that is. What a world we live in. I'd love to find out now how you're going to bring this back to goalkeeping, because if anything, you're talking about being lazy. You're talking about being demotivated. And that is not what we like to talk about on the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
No, true. We're also talking about being refueled, ready, full of energy, good to go, just like so many goalkeepers this week. Some great performances.
Some very good performances, yes. Okay, well done. I'll give you that one, mate. We are going to reflect on the Premier League and the EFL. Of course, you are still in Dubai, so we'll try and keep this as short and sweet as we possibly can. Looking forward to it, mate. On with the show.
Let's do it.
We shall start at Old Trafford. Manchester United 4, Newcastle 1. And David De Gea, another good performance from him. A very good save from Joel Linton in the second half. Important one too. It was 2-1 to Manchester United at the time.
It was indeed. Yeah, it's a good save, this. It was a good reaction. Obviously gets good firm hand to it, good parry. And as good as that save was, I'll be honest, I was actually a little bit more impressed with the distribution he showed soon afterwards. Obviously firing the ball out to the right-hand side, which eventually resulted in a goal. And it did just make me think about how often you'll see good bits of distribution that maybe go unnoticed. But it makes such a difference when, of course, you have that good moment, that good bit of distribution. It does lead to something, then naturally it gets highlighted that little bit more. And I know we've mentioned this a few times in recent pods, but you can't help but feel that the tide is starting to shift positively again for David De Gea. So moments like this where, and this is the bit of goalkeeping, I guess, you can't necessarily put into words, you can't necessarily give a logical explanation, but things, when they do start going your way, moments like this do tend to happen that little bit more, I feel. You know, and it was a lovely bit of distribution. As I mentioned, the technique was perfect. The trajectory of the flight was so low, so driven. Of course, puts United on the attack. 3-4 passes later, the ball ends up in the back of the net. I mean, phenomenal finish from Fernandes, has to be said. And of course, it is then highlighted that much more when it does result in something like that.
At the other end, Freddie Woodman, you just wanted to talk about his performance.
Yeah, and I felt a bit sorry for Freddie Woodman, because I know a few people have questioned whether he can do a little bit better on the first. And it's a frustrating one, because it does take a nick. If it doesn't take a nick, he gathers it very, very comfortably. But of course, the moment it takes, he's already in a position where he can't move his feet. He can't get into line. So effectively, he does pretty much all he can do, which is move his hands to the left and make sure he stops the ball. And then you're just hopeful that you can stop it dead and maybe get on the second ball. Of course, it breaks ever so slightly. And who's there but Cristiano Ronaldo? And unfortunately, it ends up in the back of the net. Now, I mean, credit to Freddie Woodman, because I see that he put a post out soon after the game. And effectively, suggested that he could do a little bit better himself. And I did feel a bit sorry for him. So I think on both, even the second one, which goes through his legs, again, there's no error there. What I would say on that is it comes down to style of goalkeeping. You know, and we talk often on this show about how different styles can maybe help in different situations. So for instance, the likes of maybe a David Raya in that situation may make that save because he'll play that little bit lower. The speed at which he can get down, ball shot between his legs, he's going to be that little bit quicker. But whereas then Freddie Woodman may have different strengths that David Raya doesn't necessarily. So again, a frustrating afternoon for him, but not necessarily one where I think they're errors. That being said, it will be really interesting to see what happens moving forward because, of course, Newcastle haven't got off to the greatest of starts as much. I think Freddie Woodman's been fine. He's been okay. He has got a couple of very good goalkeepers that are getting themselves fit, and it will be interesting to see whether he's able to hold on to that place.
Seemingly becoming a bit of a trend this season where goalkeepers are coming out after games and speaking when perhaps they don't need to.
Yeah, it is. And look, on one hand, I don't mind this. On one hand, I love the accountability, owning a situation. You know, the idea that look, no one goes out with the intention of making an error, but of course it does happen. I was always one that if I made an error, I come into the change room, the first thing I'd do is put my hand up and apologise. And now, people have got varying thoughts on this. Some say, well, why are you doing that? You're not intentionally looking to do that. You know, you're giving everything you've got. You shouldn't apologize when things don't go your way. On the other hand, I am of the mindset of taking responsibility, ownership. If you know that you can do a little bit better, holding yourself to the highest standards, then look, it's okay to own up. It's such a fine line because at the same time, I also give the advice to a lot of the lads I work with is then don't draw attention to yourself unnecessarily because, and a lot of this is more of a defense mechanism, I guess, just knowing that goalkeepers, you're gonna get blamed for stuff, you know, often when it isn't your fault. And I think if you're then drawing attention, I gave the example of Robert Sanchez last week where a couple of goals went in, he said he could have done better, which maybe he could, but certainly they weren't errors, far from errors. I mean, one was a penalty, as an example. So I think it is a real fine line. I do advise not to draw attention to yourself, but at the same time, being big enough, I guess, to be able to go in and say, look, I can do better than that. I will do better than that. You're going to gain the respect to your teammates if you do that.
Over to Stamford Bridge and Edouard Mendy. Another good performance from him. Down to his right from Ollie Watkins in the first half. A double save from Tyrone Mings and Ezri Konsa later in the first half too. And in the second half, he just looked solid.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic save. Fantastic save low to his right. The notes that I've written here, I wrote true position. You know, he's taken up a really true position. As the lads cut back inside, he's moved across and taken up a position where it'd have been very hard to beat him at the far post as well. You know, often you'll see goalkeepers that either move too far across because they moved with the ball. I'm going to bring up a situation I brought up a couple of times, but in the first game of the season, actually, Brentford-Arsenal, where David Raya did make a save similar to this, whereas Bernd Leno wasn't able to make a save similar to this. In fact, it's very similar to the Bernd Leno one where he's cut inside, fired it back. And obviously here, Mendy does make the save. And the agility that he shows, the power to get down to his right-hand side, this is creeping right inside the post, but it is a fantastic save. And then the double save in the second half, excellent too. You know, certainly this is one again, would this have been questioned had the follow-up gone in, given that his parry did come back inside? I actually don't think there's a great deal more he could have done with the parry because it wasn't one that he could hold. He wasn't ever able really to get the angle on it in order to push it out wide. So you can see what he's tried to do by pushing it back into play with a firm parry, getting enough distance. The second save was excellent. It kind of ricochets hither and everywhere and manages to get himself back in a good position and just about claws it around the post.
Yeah, he really is looking very, very accomplished at the moment, isn't he? At the other end, Jed Steer in for his first top flight game since November 2019. And actually, you could only say it was his second proper Premier League appearance because on that occasion, he only lasted 8 minutes. His first full 90 minutes was May 2015. So near 6 years between his first and second full Premier League appearance.
Yeah, no, really pleased for him. And certainly given the involvement that he had in Villa getting promoted. And it was only really the fact that obviously they had other keepers in the building and they brought in a few other keepers at that time. He wasn't really given the chance that maybe he deserved. But, you know, certainly knowing from the conversations I've had with Neil Cutler, just how highly he rates him. It's actually a huge compliment to him that in Tom Heaton moving on, it was always going to be Jed Steer that stepped up and become a number two. You know, effectively, they haven't got for a recognised number three. They've got a very good young goalkeeper there that they like. But yeah, huge credit to Jed Stearn. They decided to do that. They weren't in any rush, certainly in the transfer window, to bring anybody in. And I'm delighted for him that he's got that opportunity. And certainly, you know, you mentioned Mendy looking more and more solid. You actually did send me some clips as well. It was good going through his clips, because some of the stuff that you wouldn't necessarily mention, but just really good, solid goalkeeping, shots from distance that he's holding, one that was fired in from about 18 yards. And I think most goalkeepers would have parried this, but it was just nice to see. Excellent technique on the ball, just above the head, you know, makes it look so simple. And I think that's the thing at the moment, watching Mendy, that he really seems to have. And that in itself, of course, that's going to give so much confidence to those around him.
Over to the Emirates, Arsenal 1, Norwich 0. We're going to get onto Aaron Ramsdale in a minute. But first, Tim Krul doing what Freddie Woodman maybe didn't do. We've spoken about this already, that second goal he conceded from Cristiano Ronaldo. This time it was a shot from Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. A good save from Tim Krul. Another good save late on in that game from Emile Smith-Rowe. Very unlucky with the goal as well, Tim Krul.
Yeah, he was. If we start with the goal, it was an excellent save. You know, it's so frustrating because, you know, he gets a finger to it and it hits the inside of the post, comes back across. I mean, how the ball actually finds its way to Aubameyang, you know, a little bit of luck involved there, certainly. But it's one of those, you know, another day, that fingertip, it hits the post and goes the other side of the post. Or, you know, of course, if he doesn't get enough of a fingertip, then people might be asking the question, can he make the save? But I thought it was a very good save. And it's one of them. You're just hoping for a little bit of luck, but at the moment it's fair to say that the luck isn't with Norwich. And the save with his foot, it's always tough to put saves side by side, you know. And I mentioned, as much as I'm comparing the Mendy save with you know, the David Raya one, the Leno one, it is always tough because, of course, it's different situations, the ball moving at different speeds, etc. But the technique he used here was effectively the technique that you would look to use for that one that is maybe 10-12 yards from you, struck with pace in between the legs. It's always so tough to get your hands down. So I think it is accepted now that if you can just shift the feet as quick as you can, get a big firm foot to it, then you can make a good save in the way that Tim Krul did here.
And Aaron Ramsdale, like I said, in for Bernd Leno. Terrific, said Mikel Arteta. It is not only what he did on the technical side, said Arteta, it is what he transmits, his energy, his chemistry with the back line, how he reacts, his body language. I think it was top. Now, Ramsdale has come out himself and said, I don't know whether it was just a tactical decision that I was in. I may or may not be in for Burnley, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think this, for me, is Aaron Ramsdale that we've seen over the last 6 months or so, in that, you know, we spoke about him at length in the podcast last year, and you could sense a shift in him where, as you're watching him, his body language, it kind of went from being a figure who was quite frustrated, seemed to be struggling along with the Sheffield United team, to all of a sudden one that took on a very different persona and seemed to be enjoying what he was doing, and certainly had a bit more of a carefree attitude. But I don't say that in a negative way at all, because I think it's the kind of mentality and mindset that I see so many top goalkeepers adopt. Ben Foster would be a great example. I use Ben a lot because obviously having worked closely with him, but I think he's very much like that, which train as hard as you can, give absolutely everything you've got, and just know that some days it'll be your day, other days it won't. But if you keep working hard and you keep giving absolutely everything, then more often than not, you're going to have good days. And he did. He had a very good day. He was very solid in everything he did. What Arteta said there is very interesting in regards to his energy. The fact that he's brought him in for this game, I find interesting too, because it almost seems like they had the two games previously, which were very, very tough. Now, we could have put him in for the last game against City, but he decided not to, and he's brought him in for this one. Now, on paper, this was one that Arsenal were always favourites. But now what, of course, has happened is that Arsenal have gone from conceding quite a number of goals in the first three games to now getting a victory and a clean sheet. So, of course, you would think Aaron Ramsdale is going to keep his place moving forward. And it just seems like this was quite convenient timing, because now Aaron Ramsdale can step in on the front foot. He has got now the positivity behind him of the fans, of the manager, a clean sheet to start his Arsenal career as well. So it just feels like good timing for Aaron Ramsdale to now take the reins and really show what he can do.
Good management too, perhaps. We should maybe give Arteta some credit here.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's always an interesting one, and it's one that people will view this differently. And my belief is that if you're a goalkeeper and you're stepping in, of course, whether you like to admit it or not, it's so much easier to step in after a team's been beaten heavily, rather than, you know, I give some examples of the past. In fact, an example that me and you will know very well, and one that I've used previously, will be any goalkeeper that used to step in for Peter Schmeichel. You know, whether that was Kevin Pilkington, Gary Walsh, I'm sure you got a few other examples, but it was always very tough because it was right. This guy is number one. You know, you step in and you know you are just a stopgap for a period of time. Whereas you're stepping in after Arsenal conceding, was it 9 goals in the first 3 games, just getting beaten 5, and the goalkeeper's been getting a little bit of criticism. And then you're able to step in a game where you are favourites and you've got a good chance of winning. He's able to keep a clean sheet. I think it works well for Aaron Ramsdale. Had he come in against Man City, would he have done a better job than Bernd Leno? We'll never know. But the chances are they still would have lost that game. And of course, then you're stepping in on a defeat. You haven't necessarily made any difference. So the fact that he's come in and they've got the victory, then yeah, I guess from his point of view, you'd have to say that it's a very pleasing situation.
Wrapping up the rest in the Premier League, Vicente Guaita 100 up for Crystal Palace in their win over Spurs. Alex McCarthy, great reactions to thwart Jared Bowen. And Edison, he was in, unlike Emi Martinez, after those World Cup qualifying exploits in Brazil. A good save from Harvey Barnes close in Manchester City's win over Leicester. He took a boot to the face in that, and a similar stop to deny Ademola Lookman too. Two very good saves from Edison that weren't talked about too much, but I think are worth referencing.
Oh, massively. And arguably, these are two of my favourite saves of the weekend because for everybody talking about Edison and distribution and this, that, the other, this is one of my favourite things about Edison is his bravery. You know, both those saves, so brave. It could have been so easy to have stayed that little bit deeper, turned it into a slightly different situation. And the chances are he would have conceded. And in the end, these are two crucial, crucial saves. And I just think that it's a very easy thing to miss because, you know, effectively he's gone in, they've all crunched, he's made the save and that's that. There's nothing that you could look at and say, oh, well, technically it's great agility, great power, great this. No, what it is just pure bravery, getting as close as he can to the ball, making himself as big as he possibly can, which he did, and knowing that there's a good chance that he could get injured in this situation. So I love this. But what this also, I guess, represents is something that he has been criticised for before as well, which is the one where he has come out quite far down the line and sometimes maybe be beaten that little bit too easily. And, you know, I can certainly think of 3 or 4 examples over the last year, but I think this is the give and take, that actually this is an example where he's made 2 saves, getting to the situation early and looking to make himself big. And here he does make the save. So now I think it is important that we do reference it, because as you say, it's easy not to, and yet it will be referenced next time he does this, and maybe the ball bobbles over him and goes in the back of the net and a few people ask questions.
There was a good piece on the Man City YouTube channel this week. I don't know whether you've seen this, Richard. Now, you've just praised Edison. This might make your blood boil a tad, but he was shown footage of the time when David James was put up front by Stuart Pearce. Do you remember that game when he went up top against Middlesbrough last day of the season?
Yeah, I do.
And obviously, they then asked him, if this was to happen to you, where would you prefer to play? What do you think the answer was?
Do you know what? I did see this article and I didn't actually read it. So, I mean, the obvious one would be up front, but I'm guessing it's going to be for Edison, maybe sitting midfielder.
So close, not actually sitting midfielder. He said, I would prefer to play in the midfield in Kevin's place, Kevin De Bruyne. He said, if I were to choose, if someone asked me to play, I would say, take off De Bruyne and play me. It would not change anything.
Love it.
It is the Championship rundown, and we're going to start with Blackburn and Thomas Kaminski with a decent stop from Cameron Jerome of Luton. But Simon Slugo was the hero at the other end. A great save from Ryan Nyambi, then one from Ben Brereton-Diaz and Sam Gallagher. Both were crucial as Luton bagged a very, very late equaliser.
Yeah, I mean, the save down low to his right in particular is one that I wanted to highlight just for the fact, I want to say there's 3 bodies in the way, so he wouldn't have seen it till quite late. But what he's done quite interestingly is he has just gone. So as soon as a shot is struck down to his right, whereas sometimes you might see a goalkeeper kind of wait for it to go past the body before they react, which if he'd have done that, it would have been too late. It would have been a goal. He's gone really early. He would have only got sight of it then very, very late. And he is full stretch to get fingertips and put it wide. It was a very, very good save. And the one-on-one save he made for me was largely due to the timing. You know, he stayed deep. The moment then that it was officially a one-on-one, I guess, was at the point at which then he came out and just made himself big. He is quite a big guy anyway, but the way in which he then did come out of pace, made himself very big, predicted the shot in the way that he did, and made an excellent save. And in the end, as you mentioned, certainly a major reason as to why they got the point.
And a main reason why Millwall got the point at West Brom was Bart Bielkowski. A funny tip over in the first half. A bit unorthodox this one, but a very good save. And then an even better save from the Carlin Grant penalty. He also cut a ball out across the box. I think this one was from Darnell Furlong late on in the second half as well. That was actually a crucial stop.
Yeah, I mean, to touch on all of these, they're all very, very good for different reasons. The first one, and I made the note when I was watching this, was that for as much as you can train as a goalkeeper, for as many situations as you can predict and try and work towards, there are, in so many game situations, that you'll never have come across before. And I felt this was one of them where effectively it's kind of gone over his head from across. It's going in the goal, but it's taken a couple of deflections. He's had to go here, there, move his feet. And in the end, it's the awareness he shows and the ability to actually manufacture a very unorthodox save. And I think this would have caught out a lot of people, because what do you do when it's taken a couple of nicks? I think some people would have struggled to keep their footing. But the fact he was able to move his feet in the way he did, then get up, get a big palm and put it over the bar, I thought it was excellent. Really, really good goalkeeping. And just another example of the fact that there will be new situations that come up all the time. That penalty save was great. Look, he read him very, very early, moved quite early, knew that it wasn't a penalty taker that was going to wait for him to move, got himself across the goal very well because it was going right in the corner. Very, very good save. But you mentioned the cross, and I wanted to talk about this because arguably this could be the best thing that he did all afternoon. Yet this will be something that when it comes to the statistics won't even get a mention, because this isn't a shot. This is effectively across the box that would have ended up in a goal. But the speed at which he got out, got a good hand to it in order to divert it elsewhere in the end, was the reason they got the point.
That's where, and we don't want to keep harping on about this, but that is where the stats are so skewed, aren't they? Because like you said, that's the best bit of goalkeeping he arguably did in the game, but that won't go down as a save.
I just think it's difficult. And I love the fact that these stats are becoming more prevalent. And I think they'll become better and better. But, you know, I spoke to a club the other day and they spoke about a particular goalkeeper whose shot-stopping stats, according to XGA, weren't great. So I asked them to show me the goals and show me which ones they thought he could have done better with. And there wasn't a single one, because every situation, you know, was either a one-on-one or, you know, was a header from close distance or whatever it was. So then it's like, okay, that's fine. I get it. It's not great. It's XGA. That's true according to this model. But there isn't a single goal over the last 30 goals that we feel he could have done anything with. So how does that then make any sense? But, and that's where you have to be really, really careful, I think, because for as much as stats will become more and more prevalent, they will become more and more relevant. But still, I think to actually be, I suppose, an expert when watching goalkeeping and to be able to see the little nuances, the little details that make a good goalkeeper and a goalkeeper that maybe isn't quite so effective, I think that's always, or certainly for the foreseeable future, that's still going to be a big, big skill.
Barnsley's Brad Collins denying Dominic Solanke in the first half of their defeat to Bournemouth at the Vitality Stadium. A good save down low to his left. In the second half, however, Solanke eventually getting the better of him as a result of him not being able to hold on to a Philip Billing cross. And Sheffield United thumping Peterborough 6-2 at Bramall Lane. But at one point it was one apiece. Jack Marriott with the equaliser. And Wes Fotheringham, just want to talk about his positioning on this one.
Yeah, we'll start on Wes Fotheringham, because it was a difficult one. And the reason being was they lost possession about 30 yards out and he was set for a pass back. So he was out towards the left-hand side of the goal. Now, the second they lose possession, of course, he's scurrying to get himself back into position. It's one of the most difficult things for a keeper to then find the exact position that you could be in. And I think if you were to pause it at the moment the ball struck, he isn't quite there. He's maybe a yard off. And in the end, the fact that it struck and it kind of goes essentially down the middle of the goal, it's not one that you would blame him for, because it was a defensive error for it to be the one-on-one and he did have to recover. But frustratingly for him, he wasn't quite able to get himself to where he wanted to be. So it did make it a little bit easier for the striker than perhaps he would have wanted to make it. But credit to him and Sheffield United, as you mentioned, it was a big win, a much needed win. And Brad Collins, yeah, excellent save down low to his left, moved very well in order to make the save with his foot, and a frustrating one because it is a great ball in, and it's one of those where if you parry it, you're probably going to parry it into an area where they score, so you absolutely have to hold it. You're at full stretch out towards the 6-yard box, it's whipped in the way that it is, and he's so close to holding it, it just squirms out, and the moment it squirms out, of course, it makes it a very simple finish.
two goalless draws to finish in the Championship. The first one between Bristol City and Preston, and Dan Iversen, a good save from Han Noah Masengo. The other was Swansea and Hull. Matt Ingram with a good couple of saves from Matty Grimes and Kyle Norton. And Ben Hamer, a first league outing for the Swans since joining from Huddersfield last January.
Yeah, I've actually got this, the Matt Ingram one, as potentially my save of the weekend. You know, because I think it's such a good free kick, and the way in which he's got across and got fingertips to this on the post, which was a brilliant, brilliant save. The second save he made in this game as well that we highlighted was very, very good as well. Just a real solid two hands, good area, very simple, made it look simple. I was really impressed. And look, he's had a very good start to the season. Again, certainly one to keep an eye on. And yeah, Ben Hamer, I thought that it was a big decision for the manager to give him an opportunity. Of course, we do know the way in which the manager wants to play. And certainly Ben Hamer is very, very good with his feet. So nice for him to come in and keep a clean sheet. And a good save as well. Probably similarities to the save that Ingram made to his left. Two hands, solid, big save. But again, it was the movement. We spoke about Wes Fodringham not quite getting himself back to where he needed to be. Ben Hamer did this very well, retreated very quickly, got himself into an excellent position. And what I've written down is the word fluid. You know, he moves very, very well, Ben Hamer. He always has done. And the way in which he got himself back and then got himself to his left, it was quite nice to watch. You know, very fluid in his movements. He is powerful, made it look very, very simple. So a big well done to him.
Good stuff, Richard. Before we move on to the best of the rest from the EFL, I have a very quick question for you, and I'd just like to know what your thoughts are on the current state of goalkeeping in the Championship, the standard of goalkeeping in the Championship. What do you think?
I think, without being too general, I think it's very good. I think that the thing that interests me is the different types of goalkeepers, which I really like. You know, we've got so many different teams playing different styles of football. You know, we just mentioned there Swansea, who are probably now one end of the spectrum with how Ross Martin wants to play, to then teams that are that little bit more direct. And then so many in between, they have different ways in which they look to keep possession, you know, look to play out from the back. Then goalkeepers play that little bit more advanced, goalkeepers are that little bit deeper, etc., etc. So I think what you've got now is, I would argue that most teams now do have a goalkeeper that really suits how they play. I don't think there's any goalkeepers now that you would look at and feel like, oh, you know, they're desperate for a number one. I think that the majority now have got a number one that they are very happy with. And certainly the majority have a number two that is more than capable to play Championship football. And I think to add to that as well, you've got a number of goalkeepers who I think have got more than enough ability to play in the Premier League as well, which there's something we don't see that often, but I really hope we see more and more, is that ordinarily the route for a Championship goalkeeper to get to the Premier League is simply that you get promoted. You know, it was quite rare, or has been quite rare, that a Premier League team will sign a Championship goalkeeper to come in and be the outright number one. I really hope that we start to see more of that, because certainly I think there's a handful, if not more than a handful, that could certainly do very well in the Premier League. And we often see it when these teams do get promoted. The team gets to the Premier League, i.e. Sam Johnstone last year, Neil Etheridge not so long ago, David Reyes making a very good fist of it now. Well, they're not, you know, significantly different to what they were last season, a couple of seasons ago, yet they're given their chance in the Premier League and they show just how good they are, yet teams don't necessarily go out and sign the best Premier League goalkeepers. So often they will go for a lot of these foreign goalkeepers as opposed to maybe just looking that little bit closer to home.
Why is that then? Why is that they don't go for that best Championship goalkeeper? What's the stigma attached to a goalkeeper that isn't in the Premier League that then can't move up to the Premier League as a number two? Because even if they do go, Premier League clubs that is, even if they do go into the lower leagues, it's always for a two or a three.
Yeah, look, it's a great question. I don't know whether, you know, the Championship isn't seen in the same vein as some of these other leagues, which in fairness, it's always a difficult one to answer, because, you know, would you say that the Championship is as good, better or worse than, say, Ligue 1 or, you know, Serie A or Bundesliga or, you know, the leagues out in Scandinavia, etc.? Now, for me, I think I'm right in saying that in terms of finances, it's fifth in the world now.
And viewing, you know, figures. And viewing figures, yeah.
And viewing figures, yeah. So if you look at it like that, well, actually, you know, would you sign a goalkeeper from one of the Scandinavian leagues, for instance, or, you know, Bundesliga 2, or would you do it from the Championship? Well, surely it makes more sense from the Championship, yet we don't see that often. Now, the counter argument might be that financially, if you're buying from the Championship, a lot of these clubs will still demand a fee of, you know, for instance, I heard recently that Sandy Dieng, and certainly it's been in the papers, I believe they asked for 12 million for him, according to reports. Now, the counter argument will be, well, we could go and get someone from the Bundesliga for 2 or 3 million that we believe is as good. And if they consider the Bundesliga to be a better league, then perhaps it makes more sense. So maybe that's the reason. I'm not sure, but I really do hope that we see more and more. And it's not just a case of having to get promoted in order to play in the Premier League, because I do think we've got a good number of goalkeepers that are more than ready.
On to the best of the rest from the EFL, and things not going too great for Doncaster at the moment. They lost 2-1 at Wigan. However, their goalkeeper is certainly keeping those score lines down. Pontus Dahlberg, who arrived on loan from Watford in the summer, is having a pretty good season despite the team's fortunes, and twice tipping over Kel Watt's headers. These ones were quite funny, weren't they? Almost identical.
Both similar saves in some ways, you could argue, but the first one slightly better than the second. Both tip over the bars from close in, but the first one, I just thought his movement was very, very good. Sets well in that he sets a little bit higher, knowing that the odds are that the ball's going to come that little bit higher, and he reacts really well to his right-hand side in order to tip over the bar. And similarly with the second one, very similar save, but again, had to move his body very well and get the angle right when palming the ball, and again, a really good outcome. So from a personal perspective, I'm sure he's very happy, but of course very tough when you're playing a team that's struggling.
Credit given where credit is due, and Cole Stockton, what a goal for Morecambe in what was a defeat eventually to AFC Wimbledon. So if anything, it's completely pointless, this goal. But Nick Zanev was caught, unawares. He was caught unawares because it was some 45 yards out from Stockton. Quite the finish.
Yeah, what I've written down here is the ultimate punishment, because Nick Zanev hasn't done a lot wrong here. You know, it's one of those where the ball's broke. You've taken up quite an advanced position, which I've got no problem with that. But it is just a phenomenal finish. Back to goal, just turns and strikes it with pace, height. Gone right over him, of course, bounced and gone in. I mean, if you're going to be hypercritical, then maybe you could say he could have been a couple of yards deeper. However, I'm always wary to criticise something like this, because I'm very much about a goalkeeper taking an advanced position and looking to affect play. So I think, yeah, look, you have to be focused at all times. Something like this can happen, but the chances of it happening and being executed quite as well as this, so, so unlikely. So big credit to him. He's obviously seen that Nick Zanev is a goalkeeper that likes to play on the front foot, is very advanced. And he certainly capitalised on it in the most extraordinary way.
Into League Two, and a few 1-0s to speak of. Going against them first, Liam Roberts of Northampton, tipping over from Nicky Cadden of Forest Green Rovers, and Matt Stevens, a good parry from him too, but eventually beaten by Jamil Matt. And James Belshaw of Bristol Rovers, a very good tip over from Olufela Olamola of Hartlepool, but they went down 1-0 too. But Tom King with a very good save from Andy Cook of Mansfield, Salford eventually winning that one 1-0.
Yeah, I think to start with Liam Roberts, two really solid saves. He looks really, really imposing. And I think it's fair to say he had a bit of a tough time himself last season. So it's really pleasing to see him start the season in the way that he has. And Belshaw, I've got this down as one of my saves of the weekend as well. I thought that technically it was excellent. So, so sharp. Moving to his left-hand side, positionally very good as well. I think it's a top, top save to tip this over. And then Tom King, man of the match performance from what I could see. Yeah, excellent low save down to his left. And again, another one that's really started the season in top, top form. Of course, they've signed Zach Zhikok as well, who can't get a look in at the moment. And Tom King, of course, being involved with the national team as well. So things are certainly going from strength to strength for him.
Good stuff. And Richard, what's this sound across the way?
What is that sound?
Do you not recognise it?
I really don't. Go on.
It's the goalkeeper assist klaxon, Richard, because Mark Oxley of Harrogate with quite the assist for Jack Muldoon in their 2-2 draw with Newport County.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was. And look, I'm the first to give huge credit to any goalkeeper that gets an assist. I don't think I ever got one. So maybe it's just jealousy on my
part. I don't like this
tone.
Yeah, what's this tone? I don't like this tone.
Well, look, what I would say is so many of these things we've spoke about in that you do something and then after that, it's out of your control. So for instance, you kick a ball long, you could hit the perfect area, but if they win every single header, the defence wins every single header, then your stats could show that you've got 0% possession kept. And people could say, well, that's not a very good game. But you're like, well, I kicked everything into the right area and it's not really my fault thereafter. And that's kind of similar here. It's a lovely kick. Don't get me wrong. He's kicked it very well, exactly where he wanted to kick it. But the fact that then it's missed by everybody and then they score, I'm slightly wary to give too much credit, but I will give credit because I've never got one. And he kicks it very far. And he's kicked it beautifully, lovely trajectory. But I guess it's a little bit different to, say, a David De Gea, who will do a lovely side volley out to the right winger and United score from there, because I think the technique involved is slightly different, maybe a little bit more complex. But again, I'm saying this, and it is just pure jealousy, because the fact is he's kicked it a long, long way with accuracy. It's gone all the way through and they've scored, and it is an assist. So do you know what? Actually, just ignore everything I've said for the last minute. I'm just jealous.
Clean Sheet Club.
Yeah, it's that time of the show. Do you remember, it wasn't so long ago, I'd always try and think of a real, like, interesting club that you could be involved in. And then I ran out very, very quickly, unfortunately. So I feel like I need a bit of help with this. So I don't think you've got anything up your sleeve necessarily, but this is more of a cry for help to any of the listeners that have got some interesting clubs that maybe you could be part of that I could use for future podcasts. But for now, it's time for this. And we start in the Premier League. Alisson, 3 in 4. Vicente Guaita, clean sheet 29 in appearance 100. Aaron Ramsdale, league debut, D done. Robert Sanchez, if he had another chance, he'd probably bag another blank. Edison, as clean as quarantine. Alex McCarthy, club and keeper on the board. Lucas Fabianski, club and keeper on the board, mark 2. Jose Sarr, club and keeper on the board, mark 3. Edouard Mendy, seemingly never off the board. Chris Maxwell, you'll never believe it, club and keeper on the board, mark 4. Mark Travers, nice and tidy. Dan Bentley, doing his bitty for City. Dan Everson, doing his beston for Preston. Si Moore, account opened at the Building Society. Ben Hamer, lovely league debut for the Swans. Matt Ingram, lovely 53rd appearance for the Tigers. Andy Fisher, angling for more accolades. Jack Stevens, second of the EFL season. David Stockdale, snap. Mike Cooper, 4. Luke McGee, successive shutouts. Ben Killip, jumping between goalposts at the park. Lawrence Vigouroux, professionally ever-present so far this term. Joel Coleman, first league shutout since October 2018. Tom King, back in, back clean. Cam Dawson, feeling alive with a fabulous 5.
Okay, we are nearly done. We've just got one more thing to touch on, and this was a tweet that was flagged to us by Benny Wise at Mr. Kool-Aid. It was initially posted by Billy Meredith at Pert_Brian. And this is of his boy. It's a tweet that he's put out saying, "My boy may be autistic, but at 8 years old, he's playing a blinder. Superb save." So you've had a look at this, Richard. What do you make of it?
I have had a look. I've watched it several times, actually. So 3 saves to talk about. I don't know which one to rank as the best. Technically, number 2 and 3 are a double save. Really, really good, sharp double save. I think I have to go with the first save. This is up there for save of the weekend. Shot struck to the far post. It's angling right in the corner. I think the player's already peeled off, celebrating. Thinks it's in the corner. Gets down low to his right, fingertip round the post. Just a phenomenal save. And then from the resulting corner, then makes the double save. And it's just the way in which he then coolly just gets up with the ball in hand, just rolls it to the left back as if he's done nothing. But phenomenal, phenomenal save.
Yeah, really, really good save. So thank you for flagging that to us, Mr. Kool-Aid. And like Mr. Kool-Aid, if you want to get in touch with us, it is very easy to do so on Twitter at GK Union. Hello at goalkeepersunion.net or on our phone number 07503673020. Richard, we are pretty much done. Just one more thing. You've spoken about all the wonderful things over there in Dubai. Can you get them to fix the Wi-Fi, please, if that's okay?
I mean, you'd think that would be one of the things they've got nailed, but certainly where I am right now, it appears that isn't the case. But this will be the last time that the sound isn't quite pristine. Certainly as of next week, I will be back in your company, lucky me, and we will be doing it face to face.
Excellent. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks, Keepers.
Away!